The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 717. It's the 22nd of February, 2017. On the podcast today, I have Alistair Brown, CEO of Lombard Risk Management, LRM ticker. Talks about today's news regarding the record year for Killeen, one of its products, and goes over some of their highlights from their interim results. Now, Lombard Risk Management is a leading provider of regulatory reporting and collateral management solutions to the financial services industry. And they count over 30 of the world's top 50 financial institutions among its clients. I didn't know about this company until today. I've added them to my watch list. I think their reporting and their figures, very interesting reading. I'll give you an example. They are a 33 million market cap company. To the 6 months ended the 30th of September, revenues of 15.2 million, up 41%. Order book of contracted revenue, 9.2 million. Annual recurring revenue, 6 million. They have cash at the end of the period of just under 7 million. No debt. And like I said, they mentioned their Killeen product there. It's doing record business. So I think you should do some more research on Lombard. Listen, I always say this. Nothing you hear in this podcast is intended as investment advice. Please do your own research. But I've added these to my watch list, and I think you should do some research on this company. Very interesting. And it's nice to discover companies like this doing very well, but under the radar. So that's LRM, Lombard Risk Management. Also on the podcast today, I have market analyst with SpreadX, Connor Campbell, talks about UK GDP, Lloyds Bank, Barclays Bank, and Royal Bank of Scotland. We also touch on HSBC, all, of course, had results out this week. Plus, as always, top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. I'll go over that. And the top five most liked RNSs on Vox Markets this morning.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Alistair Brown, CEO of Lombard Risk Management, LRM ticker. Alistair, thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
Now, I must admit, I didn't know anything about your company until about half an hour ago, and I read through your interims, I watched your webinar, and I'm genuinely curious and interested in the business. It looks like it's going from strength to strength by the last set of results. But for people not aware, like I wasn't half an hour ago, can you tell me what Lombard Risk Management is all about, please, Alistair?
Absolutely, Justin. In a nutshell, Lombard Risk Management is a leading provider of regulatory reporting and cross-asset class collateral management solutions. And what that basically means is that we are supporting our clients as they maintain their license to operate in what have become increasingly complex financial markets.
Yes, and I suppose since, how long have you been around, Alistair? Because I'm thinking since the financial crisis, you know, now banks have mired almost in red tape. So I'm assuming business has got better since then. But how long have you been around?
So we've actually been around since 1989, and the business started with a risk management capability and has grown from there. Regulatory reporting was added in 2005 and collateral management very soon after. And you're absolutely right, this industry has grown extraordinarily since 2008. Regulators around the world have thought hard about how they can bring more security and stability to the financial services markets. And this has become an enormous burden for our clients and one that we are expert in resolving, and it shows no sign of abating. The regulator's appetite to make sure that we have a secure and stable financial system is unabated, as you would expect. And banks are, you know, not struggling to comply, but certainly it's an enormous part of their agenda, and that's where we add value.
So, you mentioned banks there, and how many parts of the business are there? You mentioned, I think, it was two there, but a couple of questions here. So are banks your main clients? And, you know, how many clients do you have? Where are they based? And can you go into a bit of detail about this as well, please?
Well, we've got a number of clients. We've got over 300 clients in total across the two lines of our business. And yes, a lot of those clients are banks, but we also support other financial services organizations, asset managers, pension funds, etc. But I guess a lot of our primary focus is around banks, particularly in some of our bigger clients where we actually support 30 of the top 50 institutions. Now, we support people in many different ways. So our flagship collateral management product, Killeen, is the collateral management solution for a couple of really major tier one market leading banks. But equally, we support some of the very biggest banks in some of the far-flung corners of the world doing foreign bank regulatory reporting. Incredibly tricky, very, very complex, very detailed, and something that Lombard Risk has a real expertise at doing.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, underpins your business model. When you have blue chip clients like that, I suppose you know, it's very easy. You find this when once you achieve and acquire one big blue chip client, it's easy. It opens doors for the next blue chip client. Is that the case?
I think it's absolutely the case. I mean, both in terms of reference sites, being able to introduce our clients to people that have had successes before. Obviously, you know, individuals in some of our clients' firms move around. We've done very well out of that. But also, it's about experience. And my background is from the banking industry. I worked in many technology roles at a big tier one bank for many years. And you go through these investment projects and you put an enormous amount of time and effort into doing it, and you have to learn that from scratch. What we bring is the sort of the serial execution capability of having done this in many different places, and it's impossible to overvalue that level of expertise. And I think that's probably the key differentiator we bring our clients, is that level of expertise.
Okay, and your product, obviously, it's software-based. Is it written by you? I mean, you own the IP and everything?
Absolutely. So we write all our own software, and we do that in our development centres in Shanghai and in Birmingham. And obviously, we have two key product lines, one on the regulatory reporting line, where our flagship product, Agile Reporter, can actually be deployed directly to clients and sit on top of the many and disparate data sources they may have. The other way of implementing Agile Reporter is actually in partnership with one of our key partners, Oracle, where if you are, as a client, a customer of Oracle's Financial Services Data Foundation, Agile Reporter will sit on top of that as one of the analytics applications. Killeen is an entirely homegrown product. It's something that we have invested in very, very heavily. We like to think it is the world-leading collateral management product going across all asset classes that are really relevant to banks these days. And as banks are looking at their collateral solutions where they have tended to invest in silos, Killeen offers them a real leg up in terms of that cross asset class capability. Particularly important in the collateral marketplace is the integration with the industry infrastructure. And Killeen provides all the connectivity that you would expect and you would need to run a very, very large collateral management business.
Yeah, and talking about Killeen, you had some news out today about announces record year for Killeen milestones.
Yes, I think we looked at what we've been up to with Killeen this year, and it was just, you know, quite extraordinary, the journey that we've been on. I mean, early in the year, getting our response to the regulatory rules that came into effect, taking our critical clients, our biggest clients, the people to be affected by those rules first, through the go-live back in September, which passed really without any incident at all. We're extremely happy with the way the software performed. That, in turn, has led to, you know, a number of critical client wins, some really quite substantial ones, particularly in North America. We've had a very, very successful year in the United States and Canada. So we basically summarized that today in a release. And obviously, you know, the big news in that release is we've just gone live with the latest module, which is adding the exchange traded derivatives asset class into it. Again, you know, really playing to the agenda, as if you want a truly scalable cross asset class collateral management solution, Killeen is the one that you should be looking at first and foremost.
Yeah, and so where are you? Are you markets everywhere, or are you strong in certain territories and looking to, you know, roll out to other territories?
So we've got a presence globally. So we have offices in Hong Kong, Singapore, covering the Asia-Pacific region. We've got customers in Australia that we manage out of there. We have a very strong presence in Europe, which we base out of London. And we also have a very substantial office in New York. So we give a truly global service to our clients. And clients run this business on a global basis. So the people that we deal with for collateral management are looking at solutions that will stretch across the world.
Excellent. And just going back a little bit, because this is what I looked at. I looked at your last set of interims, and this was, ended the 30th of September. And it's looking good. In fact, do you know what? I've got to put it into context. You are, at the moment, just a 33 million market cap. But can you take us through some of the highlights, please, Alistair, from that?
Yeah, so we were delighted with our interim results. I mean, it was on the back of a big restructure that Lombard went through over a year and a half ago. I joined, as I said, in December. We've been adding people to our team, and really it was the first evidence of the fruits of that. Our revenue record first half revenue of 15.2 million. That was actually up nearly 42%. So that was a great result in terms of the top line. We've grown our order book, so the software and professional services that we've sold but haven't yet been able to implement is now up to 9.2 million. So that demonstrates the looking forward, the business that we have coming. And indeed, again, looking forward, our recurring revenues now in excess of $1 million a month. We reported, I think, 6.1 million of recurring revenue in the first half. And booking sales were up 58%. So, and again, of that, the software licenses component was up by over 106%. So making sure that we really are selling again and again and again the key software assets that we have developed, as well as our professional services organization. We do quite a bit of professional services. It's important for us to implement our products and clients as quickly as we can, but we like to emphasize to investors that we are a software company, and I was delighted with those software sales. So all in all, a great set of interim results. Quite old news now. I mean, obviously, we're in the last 6 or 7 weeks of this financial year. Our year end is the 31st of March, and we're very pleased with where we are. With the expectations in the market are well documented and well published. It's between 30 and 32 million, and we are very comfortable with where we are with respect to that.
Yeah, I'm just going to add, the cash at the end of the period there was 6.9 million and you have no debt, so it does look good to me. Okay, Alistair, well, listen, on the podcast every day, I highlight the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets. And so to try and get you into that list, for someone not following you, could you give us three reasons why someone should hit that follow button on your page, please?
Absolutely. So I think the first one of those would be the success of our fundraising activity last year. We wanted to invest in Agile Collateral, our cloud-based Colleen product. We wanted to invest in Agile Reporter, and we wanted to grow a development center in Birmingham, bringing developers onshore near to our product development team. And I think the fact that the market supported that is a really critical reason why investors should take us seriously. I think the second reason I'd give you is that we had a very, very clear two-year plan for achieving profitability. We set that out. We're delivering against it. We are on track, and the announcement today just demonstrates that we are doing what we said we would do, both in terms of execution, developing our software product, but also in terms of making it live in client sites and winning new business. And the final reason is I just think this is an incredibly attractive investment opportunity in terms of the markets in. If you're looking for exposure to the highly dynamic and seemingly continually expanding governance, risk and compliance sector, this is a good bet to make. And I would heartily recommend that your investor community, people that follow people on Vox Markets, look at us, take us seriously, look at the webcasts that we've done, listen to what I've had to say, read the recent announcements. We think there's a good story here, and we think it's a great way of getting exposed to that very, very rapidly expanding sector.
Yeah, I can attest to that because I watched the video and generally some excellent figures there. It's generally, and I put it on your page at Vox Markets so people can check that out. Alistair, lovely to chat to you. And like you said, there's news not far away, so hopefully we'll chat off the back of that in the not-too-distant future. Thank you very much, Alistair.
Thank you, Justin. I look forward to speaking again.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Conor Campbell, financial analyst. Oh, got that stuck in my throat there, in my mouth. And joining me on the podcast right now is Conor Campbell, financial analyst at Spreadex. Conor, thanks for coming back on.
No worries.
Now, first and foremost, hot in the press. I haven't really seen much of it, but the GDP figures there are out. What's it all about? What's happening? Any reaction?
Well, interestingly, on the surface, things are pretty good. The fourth quarter GDP figure was revised higher from 0.6% to 0.7%, thanks to better than expected manufacturing output. However, beyond that sort of headline figure, things weren't quite as rosy. For the year, across 2016, growth was revised slightly lower from 2% to 1.8%. Business investment fell 1% across the fourth quarter. There are signs that consumer spending are slowing, which is especially worrying given that most of that growth has been driven by the services sector and household spending. So there's been enough signs in that fourth quarter report this morning that have maybe worried investors and caused, especially the pound. The pound was up, you know, 0.2% against the dollar, 0.5% against the euro. The pound slipped back since that GDP figure. And I think it's now in the red against the dollar. It's still got some gains against the euro, but that seems to be more thanks to euro weakness and fears over Marine Le Pen and the Greek debt crisis situation more than the pound strength. So we have seen sort of a drop back from the pound in the aftermath of those GDP figures, despite that headline fourth quarter figure, you know, being fairly healthy. Mm-hmm. We've also seen, you know, I think, you know, Britain was on track to be the best performing country in the G7. Now it's, you know, lost that position to Germany, I think.
Germans! Oh, I can't believe that.
1.9% growth across 2016. You know, that means, you know, the UK is just a bit below that thanks to the annual revision downwards.
Yeah, but it's really good, though. I mean, you know, it's all kind of positive. The thing is, I think we can talk ourselves into a slump. You know, we get all these reports coming out saying, you know, the growth is strong, but it looks like it's going to get a bit tighter in the future. And people start to worry. They read it and believe it, don't they? We talk ourselves into a downturn if we're not careful. And so Lloyds has had some results out. How's that looking?
Lloyds did very well, especially if you contrast that to HSBC yesterday.
Yeah.
I think it's profit for the year more than doubled from 1.6 billion pounds last year to 4.24 billion pounds this year. That's a tad lower than expected, but that didn't really bother investors. You know, it jumped around 3.5% after the bell. I think there was other things that I think the dividend, the normal dividend rose 13%. There's a special dividend of 0.5p per share, which is an added bonus considering some analysts didn't think that a special dividend would occur thanks to Lloyds buying MBNA at the end of last year. The fact that they did, however, you know, has caused a positive reaction from investors, you know, in stark contrast to how they reacted to HSBC yesterday.
Yeah. And, of course, tomorrow, a couple more results from the banks. Who is it tomorrow?
Barclays tomorrow. Similar situation to Lloyds, I think. Expected to post a huge jump in profits from 1.9 billion to 3.9 billion year on year. Again, both Lloyds and Barclays have benefited comparatively from 2015 to 2016, thanks to a lower PPI bill, basically. Mm. Both banks have still paid out quite a lot. Lloyds, I think, across 2016 paid out put aside 2.1 billion pounds for various, you know, legal charges. That's half of what they put aside for 2015. However, similar situation for Barclays tomorrow, allowing that comparatively huge leap in profit. RBS on Friday, however, completely different situation. I think at the end of January, RBS announced they're putting aside another 3.1 billion for charges in America. That's on top of the 2.5 billion loss they saw for the first 9 months of their fiscal 2016. So I think analysts are expecting RBS on Friday to post an annual loss of 6.1 billion, which is huge. That's one of the worst performances is seen in the last 8 years since the financial crisis, which is saying a lot given just how bad the RBS has performed in that time. I think its losses now are approaching 50 billion across that period. So again, Lloyds and Barclays, in stark contrast to HSBC and RBS, sort of sandwiched around those earnings releases this week.
Yeah, so we got the sitting pretty there, Lloyds and Barclays, looking at the ugly sisters, you know, RBS and HSBC. And RBS, it's almost like they're never going to recover. It seems that, are they on the road to recovery? And just when you think they are, they have something else that happens, you know, like fines from America.
There are signs of a recovery. I think in the third quarter, before charges and everything else, they managed a profit of 1.3 billion, which, you know, that's healthy. But for as long as they've got those charges and legal repercussions and things like that, investors are going to struggle to focus on anything else, really. And that's going to prevent the stock from seeing a significant enough recovery that the government feels comfortable offloading their stake. Obviously, there's the Williams and Glynn issue as well. I think they've given up on trying to spin those 300 branches off now, and they're going to set up a fund. The government are going to get them to set up a £750 million fund to help out smaller challenger banks, which again, you know, that's going to delay the government getting rid of its stake. I think Philip Haviland has said now that, you know, 72-73% stake isn't going to be offloaded until 2020, which if you compare that to Lloyds, which is, I think, the government stake now sits at 5.95%, you know, it got shrunk it was shrunk at the start of the year. That could be gone by the end of the year if Lloyds continues to perform well. So I think if you, especially if you compare Lloyds and RBS, which were in similar situations around the financial crisis, sorry, you can see how poor the RBS has performed in comparison to the rest of the sector.
Yeah, well, you know, financially they have. I just look at their charts, and they're pretty much identical, Lloyds and RBS, strangely.
No, they are. I think they're both, you know, UK, you know, they've got a strong UK base, so they saw a similar aggressive fall in the aftermath of the Brexit, both sitting at multi-year lows, perhaps lows not seen since the financial crisis. And then both in the back end of 2016 sort of rose back to levels they'd just seen before the referendum. I think RBS is now sitting at 12-month highs, which sounds good in one respect, but if you factor in that's just basically recovering from where it, the massive lows it's seen by the middle of 2016, it's still maybe 50, 60p lower than where it was at the end of 2015. So it's still not doing great. And again, it depends, if investors react poorly to that those full-year figures on Friday, that could be, you know, take RBS another leg lower and undo the good work it's sort of seen at the start of this year and at the end of last year.
Yeah, and I just think, you know, yeah, there's still quite a few, you know, problems in RBS, but with Lloyds, it just seems to be PPI, and I'm just thinking, surely by now, everyone on the planet who's entitled to a claim in PPI has got one. I think they even, you know, I've seen, heard so many adverts, surely they're even looking to other planets now to say, anyone else for PPI? He says, you know, it's going to reduce in the end, because they've exhausted the population pretty much, haven't they?
Yeah, well, I think there is that, I can't remember exactly when it is, but there is an end date for PPI claims now, isn't it? Which is, you know, music to the banks' ears.
Yeah.
Obviously, RBS have still got other issues. They've got the Department of Justice issue in America that's still unresolved. Lloyds, on the other hand, like you said, once that PPI issue is over, it's sort of in the clear.
Yeah,
then it
yeah.
can start to build, you know, fresh start, build on this recovery properly without sort of the looming spectre of more and more fines appearing. And I think that's where you're going to see the divergence again between Lloyds and something like RBS. RBS has still got major issues in the US to resolve, whereas Lloyds should be okay once the PPI thing, you know, has resolved itself.
Yeah. Excellent. Thanks, Connor. I think once, if we ever do make contact with, you know, bodies from another planet, I think that it's the message we've been sending out by PPI. They'll probably, you know, get in contact with. I can make a claim on that. Marvellous. Connor, thanks very much. Speak again soon, fella.
Thanks very much.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five. It's there again. URU Metals, URU, at four. It's there again. Ascent Resources, AST. At three, Servision, SDV. They did a premium placing today. Quite a surprise. I think the placing was at 11.4 pence. And the price of the current price when it opened, well, it probably opened a bit higher, but it closed yesterday, was 2.75 pence. At two, Vast Resources, VST. And number one most followed company on Vox Markets today. And I did cover them with Nicola. Earlier on the chart, she looked at the charts of PCG Entertainment. Ticker there is PCGE. Also, here we go. Top five most liked RNSs on Vox Markets this morning were at five, Savannah Resources, SAV. Not confused with Savannah Petroleum, of course, which I wrote a blog about on the weekend. Anyway, Savannah Resources raised $2.24 million and a letter of intent for a further £1.01 million. At four, Ariana Resources, AAU. Significant resource development upside at Tavzan. And that's in capitals. Shouting at you there, that RNS. At three, Advanced Oncotherapy, AVO, financing agreement. At two, Red Rock Resources, RRR, an update on Schutz Creek. And at number one, the most liked RNS today on Vox Markets was from Sirius Petroleum. Are you serious? Yes. It was SRSP is ticker. Equity placing raises $2 million. Equipment deposits. That's it for the podcast. Thanks very much for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.